Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling enthusiasts from around the world, welcome back to the WrestleArts Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Edge, and I'm thrilled to bring you a series of exclusive interviews recorded right here at the Irving Theater in historic Irvington, Indianapolis, Indiana. In these special episodes, I have the privilege of sitting down with the passionate crew members, dedicated staff, and electrifying wrestlers of WrestleArts to preview the highly anticipated WrestleArts 14 event. From seasoned veterans to rising stars, we covered it all. I asked them about their backgrounds, their inspirations, what drives them as they step into the ring each night. We delved into their most memorable moments, their toughest challenges, and their aspirations for the future. And of course, we couldn't forget to discuss the excitement building around WrestleArts 14, the matchups, the rivalries, the potential show stealers. So whether you're a diehard WrestleArts fan or just curious about the world of professional wrestling, join me as we journey through the captivating stories and personalities that make WrestleArts truly special. These interviews offer a behind-the-scenes look at the heart and soul of WrestleArts, providing fans with an insider's perspective on the upcoming event and the vibrant wrestling community that calls it home. Join us.
Well, it is the WrestleArts 14 pre-show. I believe the doors are now open because I see all sorts of people coming in and taking seats, and I'm here with the talk of the town, Taylor McAllister. Taylor, I missed you so much. How are you?
I am doing well. I am over all of the cold. I'm glad that it's starting to warm up.
Be cold, nice to see the cold sun again. Cold as in cold weather or cold as in you got sick?
Well, both is true, but cold weather. I'm ready to get to a modest climate.
Was it much worse in St. Louis than it was in Indianapolis? Because we only had like 2 weeks of cold.
It wasn't for a long time, but when it hit. We were at negative temperatures for a couple of days.
That's fair. It was -2 here, and my furnace went out.
Oh.
In a brand new house, Taylor. Brand new house, furnace went out, almost froze to death. So, you know. But life is good. We're here. You know, it's cold in the Irving Theater here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Irvington, Indiana. We got a lot of good sponsors. We got Paradigm Games. We got the Art of Health. We got Giacomo's Pizza. We got Hampton Designs. Look at all those sponsors up. Skull and Mortar. The Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra. WrestleArts is coming along, Taylor.
It's doing great. And it may be cold in here now, but I promise you when that first bell rings, it's going to heat up real quick.
Well, you know why that is.
Tell me.
We got the Dragons.
That doesn't hurt anything.
We got the Dragons. Coming out, making it happen. Josh Crane and Dale Patricks versus Sean Kemp and Chase Holiday. I did talk to some analysts today. Did you know, Taylor, that basically Sean Kemp and Chase Holiday have held every tag team title there is in the greater Indianapolis area except the WrestleArts tag crown?
I knew that they were well decorated, so I'm not surprised to hear it.
Do you think that Josh Crane and Dale Patricks will be tested more than ever before against Kemp and Holiday? If you remember, Sean Kemp almost became the global openweight crown holder against Flash Flanagan a few months ago. And, this might be the biggest test for Crane and Patricks.
I know that the answer I'm supposed to give is yes, absolutely.
you could give any answer you want, Taylor.
But the true answer is no. and to expand on that, that's not to be disrespectful at all to Sean Kemp or to Chase Holiday, who are both fantastic competitors and do great things in the ring. However, you have to keep in mind that the Dragons won those tag team championships from a team that had held them literally for years in the Soul Shooters. So do I think that it is going to be a significant challenge? Yes. Do I think that it's going to be their biggest challenge to date? I think that winning the championships from the Soul Shooters, I think that so far they are still the biggest challenge to date. With an honorable mention to TNT, who gave them a real...
I was going to say that too, yeah. Some of the... they lost it to the Soul Shooters. They lost to the Soul Shooters at WrestleArts 6. They defeated them, I believe, in WrestleArts 9. And then that TNT was WrestleArts 10. So go back and watch TNT versus Josh Crane and Dale Patricks. A lot of people say that was the best WrestleArts match in history.
It was up there for sure.
And you, to argue against myself and reinforce your point, that is a good point about, you know, Sean Kemp got very close to winning the global openweight crown, but Apollo Starr did win the global openweight crown, and the Dragons have beaten them. So you make a good point, my friend. Guess who's back in WrestleArts at WrestleArts 14, Taylor?
T- Tell me, who's back?
The Babushka Baron, Jeffrey John, baby.
I saw that, and my immediate thought was that Jeffrey must be as happy as a pig and you know what. So.
He came up and gave me a big hug, and I told him how much I missed him, and I think the crowd missed him too. The Babushkas will be running wild here tonight at the Irving Theater. Do you agree?
Yes, I have no doubt. It still amazes me, the popularity of Jeffrey John. I wasn't a believer at first, as I think I've said before.
Same.
But he won me over with how good he is between the ropes. I'm still not totally sold on the Babushka stuff, but I know that lots of people love it. I know I'm in the minority on that. But his actual athletic acumen between the ropes is just fantastic, and he won me over with that.
He also has a lot of great composure in between the ropes,
yes.
I've noticed, is that he holds himself very well in the ring. He carries himself. He uses a lot of momentum to his favor. Just has a really good understanding of physics inside that ring and using his momentum to his advantage.
Yes, the Babushka stuff is almost a cover because...
Yeah.
If you look at that, you kind
literally
of think,
and figuratively.
Yes, because you kind of tend to think that he's a little bit of a joke when you look at it at first, but if you make that mistake, it is at your detriment because he's just so good between the ropes. He knows exactly what he's doing.
And if you're wondering how beloved the Babushka Baron Jeffrey John will be here at WrestleArts 14, look no further than across the ring at who he will be squaring up against, but the cutthroat Jordan Dye, the least liked man in all of professional wrestling, Taylor.
Well, yeah, you could put a politician against Jordan Dye and they'd still get cheered. There's no doubt Jordan Dye is the most reviled, detested man in WrestleArts, and frankly, rightfully so.
Nobody likes it. So,
nobody.
You know, his own dog bit him, I heard.
I tend to like some of the folks that people don't like, and I don't even like him.
How do you feel about Dylan Cole?
I hesitate.
The undefeated Dylan Cole, by the way. I think he's about 4-0 now.
Yeah, I don't know how that's happened, but I hesitate to say I like him less than Jordan Dye, but equally would be probably accurate.
You want to talk about Aaron Williams and Apollo Starr?
Boy, man. I know that I went bananas when we had the Jack Vaughn Apollo Starr match, and I'm still a huge, huge fan for Jack Vaughn.
You share a house with Jack Vaughn, I think, as much as you loved him.
I'm a big fan.
I think he pays your rent.
I'm a big fan, but this Aaron Williams Apollo Starr match.
By the way, Jack Vaughn is currently the OVW heavyweight champ, I think. Has he got that?
Well, I'm embarrassed to admit that I missed the live show this last week, so I don't know if he is or not.
I don't know.
He was facing Tony Gunn for the title. I have no idea if he won it or not. But I will tell you that Aaron Williams versus Apollo Starr is possibly the biggest match. If you're someone who's following the product, if you're somebody who is just looking for the best contest possible, Aaron Williams versus Apollo Starr might be the biggest match we've ever had.
So excited to see it. What I am so excited for is to watch the cerebral tactics of Poison Apollo Starr, the champion. Every match, every competitor he has faced, every match he has been in, he has found a different way to win, whether it's using his size against Sage Phillips, whether it's using his speed against Jack Vaughn, whether it's just being cerebral and taking it to Josh Crane. If you recall on the podcast when I interviewed Apollo Starr, he said, I want to brawl with Josh Crane when he wants to wrestle, and I want to wrestle with him when he tries to brawl. And that worked to his advantage to take out a meaner, tougher, bigger opponent.
It did. And it's funny, you talked about the cerebral tactics of Apollo Starr, but when you started to say that, I actually thought you were going to talk about Aaron Williams, which shows
sure.
just how similar those two are as competitors. They are both such strategists in the ring. It's going to be a chess match tonight.
You know what I do wonder about Aaron Williams, and you know how big of a fan I am of Aaron Williams. I think Aaron Williams, the Cincinnati Shogun's one of the best wrestlers in the world. I love his ability to control and manipulate everything that goes on in the squared circle. And, you know, he finds a way to battle back. He finds a way to grab through underhanded tactics. He will grab the pace of the match. Grab the control of the match. He pushes the tempo. What's going to happen when Apollo dictates the tempo? How is Aaron Williams going to react when Apollo starts to control the match?
Aaron Williams has become one of my favorite competitors, not just in the area, but period. And one of the reasons why is because he's one of the only competitors I've ever seen that even when he's on his back on the mat, I still feel like he's in control.
Yeah.
Apollo Starr is proving to be the very best that there is right now. I mean, he's beating everybody. Sure. And even I have, I'm a big Apollo Star fan too, but even I have casted some doubt on a couple of the contests he's had. I kind of wrote him off against Jack Vaughn. I certainly didn't think that he didn't have a chance against Josh Crane, but Josh Crane was like the one blemish on his record, as they talked about. So, but Apollo Star always comes through. He always finds a way. So it's in many ways the immovable object against the irresistible force tonight, and I just can't wait.
And I will note one interesting point. They've both beaten guys much bigger. They've both beaten guys much smaller. They're not like a Brock Lesnar who struggles with guys much smaller and faster than him. You know, Jack Vaughn for Apollo Star, three-time world champion Nick Aldis, the national treasure for Aaron Williams, and yet they've both taken smaller opponents, Jeffrey John for Aaron Williams and Sage Phillips for Apollo Star. They both know how to play different styles of matchups.
And here's an interesting fact, too. Both men undefeated in singles action here at WrestleArts. So yep. Aaron Williams has the battle royal to his against column, and Apollo Star has the tag team title match against the Dragons in his against. But otherwise, totally undefeated.
It's not the tale of the irresistible force versus the immovable object. It's the irresistible force versus the irresistible force.
It's going to be wild. I just can't wait. I hesitate to even predict a winner in this contest. It's going to be so close. I just can't wait.
Okay, predict a winner.
The winner is everybody who's watching the match tonight.
Agreed.
Big
Absolutely
time winners.
Absolutely agreed. All right, so this is the first time I want to do this today, Taylor. Are you ready for it?
Sure.
It is the top 10 of the Talk of the Town. The Talk of the Town's top 10. Top 10 WrestleArts wrestlers of all time.
Okay, yeah, I can get into that. This has no basis in anything other than my own opinion, which
carries a lot of weight.
I like to think so, but take it for what it's worth.
You know, former legend in the ring and outside of the on the mic and inside the ring.
You're far too kind.
Do you have a number 10?
Number 10. Now, this may be a controversial pick, but I'm going to go with Jack Vaughn.
Okay,
he only had one match in WrestleArts. He lost, but the impact of having a Jack Vaughn in WrestleArts, the contest he had with Apollo Star, the double title match environment that we had with Jack Vaughn, everything that Jack Vaughn continues to do outside of WrestleArts, so that when you point to that match at WrestleArts, you know, that's that guy. I'm going to go with Jack Vaughn as my number 10.
Okay, got it, Jack Vaughn. Okay, here, number 9.
Number 9.
Who's better than Jack Vaughn?
Number 9, I'm going with Zodiac the Mystic.
Wow, been here the whole time.
Been here the whole time.
Certainly an Iron Man.
To the best of my recollection, nobody's pinned his shoulders to the mat or made him tap out. I know nobody's made him tap out. Him and Hoodfoot almost destroyed the Irvington community together.
Yep. Twice.
Which, spoiler alert, he'll be my number 8, Hoodfoot.
Godzilla and King Kong.
Yes. Zodiac's just a scary dude. His first match here, he beat two guys at the same time. Zodiac's that dude.
Nobody's seen Funk and Fresh since.
No. They are no longer that fresh or that funky.
Okay, so you got Hoodfoot at number 8.
I do. Hoodfoot's just a bad mamma jamma. He'd probably be higher on the list if he was here a little bit more often. He had that... My God, the match he had with Brandon Prophet, I mean, just amazing. Possibly the best overall contest in WrestleArts history.
Most hellacious story.
Just such an emotional bout. Blood was shed.
Even to if he's number 9, would you still take him number 1 to have your back in a fight?
I'd have to think about that, but he'd certainly be on the list of folks I'm thinking about.
If you had 10 people with pitchforks coming at you, would you say, hey, hold on a second, let me go get Hoodfoot to even the odds?
Yeah, he might be, and not even just because of the amount of damage that he can give, which, by the way, is pretty substantial, but also because you could put that pitchfork right through him and he'll keep coming.
Oh, yep, and people have tried in the ring. Yeah.
Him and Brandon Prophet are a lot alike in that regard, so either one of them would be a pretty strong pick.
Number 7.
Number 7, I'm going with Cassius Starr.
The Ebony Prince of the Mat.
The Ebony Prince of the Mat. He's just had an amazing season with WrestleArts. He won the Triple Threat Championship. I would argue that he was probably the most prominent champion with that title belt. his frog splash. There's like 900 guys that do a frog splash. I don't think anyone does it quite as well as him today.
Absolutely.
And by the way, those other guys, when they do it, whoever they do it to tend to kick out. When Cassius Starr does it, they don't kick out.
That is very true. I don't know if anybody's kicked out of
the... They've not.
Yeah, wow. Well done. Number six.
I'm going with Jordan Dye, and by
the way,
yeah, it doesn't make me happy to do
Ew.
It. And when I say Jordan Dye, I kind of mean Jordan Dye and company, or Jordan Dye.
Jordan
Dye
and his gang of cronies.
Yes, but as much as I despise Jordan Dye, largely stemming from that whole incident with Fred Prophet, Brandon Prophet's 15-year-old son, and leading that mugging on him, and how reprehensible that
was—putting the boots to a 15-year-old.
Yeah, that still doesn't sit well for me. That's not something I can just
kind
of push back. But you can't deny that he has put together an army behind him.
Sure.
He's always able to maneuver things in such a way to be at his advantage. Whenever we think we've got him pinned down for something, he finds a way to slip out. Jordan Dye, I'm not happy to do it, but I've got to give the man his flowers. I've got to give the man his props.
Okay. Number four.
Number five, actually, is where we're
Oh,
we're
are we on number five?
We're at number
five. Excuse me.
And number five, I'm going for the Adams Street Butcher himself, one Brandon Prophet.
El Chupacabra, okay. Had a great run so far.
Yes.
Taking a lot of punishment, but giving a lot, too.
The top five list is really hard because, honestly, any one of them I could argue for one through five. Brandon Prophet absolutely has an argument for any spot in that one through five. But... first off, his win-loss record, I don't know exactly what it breaks down to, but it's a lot versus very little. Secondly, again, just like I talked about with Hoodfoot, I mean, I feel like you could shoot the man with a cannonball and he would still keep coming forward.
Yep.
He just has no quit. He does things that a man of his size and of his season have no business doing and does them seemingly effortlessly.
Mm.
We went down when he faced Hoodfoot, we went down the litany of injuries he's had, and yet still just keeps coming and keeps coming. Lots of respect for Brandon Prophet. Definitely in my top five. Could land anywhere there, but for today's purposes, I'm putting him at five.
I also might put Brandon Prophet number three all time in all of wrestling for throwing haymakers, with number two being Harley Race, number one being Jerry the King Lawler. I go, man, who throws a better haymaker in all of professional wrestling than Brandon Prophet?
There's an argument to be made, for sure.
All right, now am I on number four?
Now you're on number four.
Okay, thank you.
Number four, I'm going with the global women's crown holder herself, the Killer Bay, Heather Monroe.
Yes!
Heather Monroe, I made no secret. There are a few people that you could argue I might be president of their fan club, and I'm not bashful about it. Heather Monroe is certainly one of those folks. Again, is undefeated between the ropes, has not been pinned. Her strategery, which I'm not even sure is a word, but I'm choosing to make it one
George
today.
George W. Bush made it one, I think. or Will Ferrell as George W. Bush. I don't remember which one was which.
She can maneuver mentally, physically. You saw how she got the belt back when David Barker tried to essentially hijack it from her.
Very assertive. Defends herself.
Yes, absolutely. Huge Heather Monroe fan. Again, another one who could fall anywhere in this one through five. I happen to put her at four.
Okay, so I'm going to assume you have number three for science, Vinnie Ratlock, right? I see Vinnie Ratlock over there, so I said, where's he at in your top ten?
I love Vinnie Ratlock.
How could you put Vinnie above Hoodfoot?
Well, here's the thing. I love Vinnie Ratlock, but when you ask where is he in the top ten, far, far outside,
right outside.
Looking in.
He's outside. He's outside the top ten looking in.
Now, to be fair, he's only had one match. It was a seven-person match, so, I mean...
That's fair. He'll be in my top ten.
Well, there you go. My number three, I'm choosing to count the Dragons as a group as one.
I'll count it.
So, if you force me, if you put a gun to my head and said who specifically ranks...
Ooh,
who
that's a hard
ranks,
one.
I'll go Josh Crane, Ace Perry, Dale Patricks, but I'm still putting them all at number three. And... even those three rankings by slivers. Dale Patricks is only at the end because he's been here the least amount of time this season, this go around.
Sure. Dale Patricks has been absolutely vicious, too.
Yes, absolutely. Ace Perry, you don't think of him as the vicious one of the Dragons, but he absolutely is just as vicious as the rest of them.
Oh, 100%.
And Josh Crane, you and I talked
about. To the audience as well.
Yeah. And you and I talked about how Josh Crane, I mean, leave your big screen on the wall, leave the door wide open. If Josh Crane's hanging at your house, you got nothing to worry about.
Jeez, oh, Pete. I love it.
Yes.
I think John Wick would have a hard time putting Josh Crane down.
I don't disagree.
All right. Who, number two?
So I'm going to do number one and number two together, and I don't think it's going to come to any great surprise. And the reason I'm going to do it together is because depending on how tonight goes, it may change.
Okay. Oh, I know who you're saying.
But number two is, in my mind, Aaron Williams. Number one is Apollo Starr. But depending on how tonight goes, that order may change because, in my mind, if you are the WrestleArts Global Open Weight crown holder, you are number one. That's
sure.
It, full stop.
Got to be.
But Aaron Williams, I think there's an argument to be made when he says that he ought to be number one, and I'm so glad that we finally get to get that fight tonight, and I can't wait to have an official,
sure,
undisputed number one guy.
I am so impressed. What a great top ten. Thank you so much for joining us, Taylor.
Happy to be here.
You've heard it from Taylor, for Jeff Edge, the voice of Indianapolis, and Talk of the Town, Taylor McAllister. Let's get right down to the action. Make sure you check out WrestleArts 14 on YouTube. Thank you very much.
Let's take a moment to thank our amazing sponsor, Paradigm Games, for this episode, your ultimate destination for tabletop gaming excitement. Conveniently located at 2479 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46208. But wait, that's not all, folks. Paradigm Games is not just your average game store. They are the proud hosts of the Wednesday Lorcana League Nights, where the action starts at 6:30 p.m. For just $10, you'll get a spot on the sheet and a booster pack to jump into the thrilling world of Lorcana. Plus, you'll be battling it out for monthly promos that'll leave you hungry for more. But wait, Paradigm Games has something special for all you Pokemon enthusiasts out there. Join them every Sunday from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. for Pokemon League. And the best part? It's completely free. Gather your best decks, trade cards, and meet fellow trainers in the ultimate showdown. So whether you're a board game fanatic or a Pokemon trainer, Paradigm Games is your go-to destination for gaming fun in Indianapolis. Support our sponsor because they support your passion.